Welcome back to 1 in 40,000 Feet with Sherry V and
Patrick.
Patrick C, welcome.
Patrick C,
the man of many talents.
Well, purported.
Dad.
Yes.
Husband.
Dad's
actor,
not a talent. Dad
writer.
Just means that you had children. Yeah. Yes. All that stuff.
Fellow flight attendant.
Yes. Yes.
Master knitter.
Cookie pusher. Knitter. Yes. I do like to knit. My daughter started knitting too.
Maybe she can teach me.
There's a really great video, actually, about that. And it was a friend of mine sent it to me. And it's how to remember it. And it's the Halloween how to knit. So you stab it. You choke it. You pull its guts out. And then you push it off the cliff. And that's how my daughter now knits.
With
she
violence?
Goes, stab it. Choke it. Pull its guts out. Push it off the cliff. It's very funny.
What has she knitted?
Just length.
Oh yeah, well that's how you start.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's how I started.
But you
Infinity
make
scarves.
Animals.
Yep. Stuffed
right?
animals.
They're really cute.
Thanks.
Is that like what you do in your pet in your waiting around time during auditions?
No, well yes, sometimes I do, which is very funny because everybody you know, if I had known when I was single that knitting will stop any woman walking by to talk to you, then I probably would have taken it up much sooner.
Or you could get a puppy. I mean,
or
that
a
works,
puppy.
That works too.
Sure, but you can't put a puppy in a drawer when you get home.
Well, you could, but I mean, the animal activist
would come into you.
Yeah. How could he do that?
But knitting was actually when you and I have been working at our place of work long enough that you remember that we were not allowed to use iPads.
Correct.
And I had all my books on iPad, so I needed something to do on longer flights, and so I took up knitting.
And I tried my hand at knitting, and I can't do it.
Well, not with an attitude like that.
Well, and then I asked a lady, I was like doing better, and then I asked a lady who was knitting on the airplane for some advice, and then the advice I took just totally screwed me up, and I was like, well, to hell with it.
Oh. Yeah.
So.
I YouTubed it. That's how I learned it.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I often forget about YouTube. I must be the only person who doesn't think first to go to YouTube.
Well, it's just because I don't want to talk to people.
Well, that's the hazard of the job.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, no, I'm peopled out, so.
Oh, I call it the humanity threshold. It's when Zoe was born, my oldest daughter, we had not properly calculated the pay decrease that was going to happen when my wife went on maternity leave, and so I had to work
extra.
Overtime, yeah. I was home 9 days a month because I was doing the full amount. And before that, I had found that I could work up to or 80 hours or whatever, and then I was pretty good because at that point, I'm kind of,
it's true.
I've had enough.
Yep.
But then I was like, well, now I have to work 120, so I'm just going to be nice to people all the time because I can't afford not to at this point. So, yeah.
Put on your fake smile and giddy up.
No, no, it was a real smile, but my eyes weren't smiling.
Got to smile with the eyes, Patrick.
That's right.
That's what we're told. But I don't think I know how to do that. I'm like, my eyes say too
Well,
much.
Look it up on YouTube.
Yeah, I'll do that later. So, we have known each other now probably for sure 10 years.
Yeah, probably.
Because you were in training class with James.
I was.
And Randy.
Yes.
What year was that? Because I'm...
2008? It's 11, just 11 years went by.
Okay.
So, yeah, 2008.
Yeah. So I met him right after you guys started flying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he had come from TAC.
Correct.
Yes.
And, yeah, so we've known each other for quite some time. We've worked together once.
Just once? We just keep passing each other?
Do you remember the epic pairing that we had?
I don't.
In Halifax?
No.
When it was raining like crazy?
Yes, I do.
And the rain and the ice and...
And then sliding down?
Oh, my God.
Like, and then her sweater was in the lobby the next morning, neatly folded?
Like, there's
Is that the one we're talking about? The one we were with?
Maybe.
There was a woman that we were with on this pairing, and she was away from her kids for the first time in a long time, and she got even more bombed, to the point that she just walked into the lobby, and this was after us, because you and I went.
Yeah.
Were reasonable and went.
I was not overserved. That was not my. The problem was the weather.
Yeah. No, I remember. Actually, I remember calling and leaving Vicky a message on the phone, laughing my ass off, saying I'm holding onto a pole right now because there's a river down.
And I can close my eyes. I can still see you hanging.
Yeah.
And then you're like trying to reach for my hand.
Come with me.
Well, Halifax downtown. It's like.
Yeah.
It's all uphill.
Yeah.
Downhill.
Yeah.
Up and down.
Well, so
this
other person who was on our pairing walked into the hotel, gooned, and took off her sweater
because
it was wet, but then left it there and went up to her room. And then when we came down to check in, it was there, dried, and folded.
That's funny.
Because the Delta is awesome that way.
Yeah. yeah, because she was hanging out with one of the pilots too, mm-hmm. wasn't she?
Yep.
Didn't they end up sliding down the hill together?
Don't know. I can neither confirm nor deny.
Anyway, it was hilarious, and I.
What happens in Halifax stays in Halifax.
Don't you wish though, like that whole scene literally could be a movie scene?
Oh yeah.
Like a hilarious.
I totally forgotten that was you, but that's yeah. like one of those entrenched. Like when you work this job and you
yeah.
have certain pairings. Well, you know how it is. I'll see someone on a plane, and I'll go, "Oh, you look familiar." And then they'll say something that triggers the entire
yes.
3 days that you spent
yes.
with them before.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, you're like, "Oh, that's right. Your husband's name is this. You
yeah.
have two kids. You're a dog. You have a
yeah.
dog. Your dog died. I'm so sorry." And you know, and then that, and it just instantly floods back.
Or like the people who remember you, but you don't remember them. Like this happened to me today, leaving Calgary, and the ambassador for the new service came on.
Uh-huh.
She's like, "Oh, hey, Miss Sherry." And I was like,
"Sup, you?"
I'm like, "Hi."
Yeah.
I still don't know who she is, but she clearly knew who I was.
Yeah.
There was no way she could have seen my name tag. She knew the face.
Right.
And I was like, "I'm sorry," but she wasn't in a uniform, and that really makes a difference.
It does.
I don't know why street clothes, like even you, like you get to your room, you're like, "Hey, we're going to meet up." People come down.
Oh, I have
and their
a story
clothes,
about that.
Especially girls, if their hair is now down.
Women especially.
Yeah, you're like,
sure.
You could be sitting right beside them on the bench and not realize that they're...
Yep, we were in Grand Prairie, and I had gone to the beer store, and I had had a couple, and I was walking down the hall, and this stunning woman in workout gear stops and starts talking to me.
You're like, damn.
And in my head, I'm like, why is this woman talking to me? And then I finally looked at her and I went, "Why are you talking to me?" And she went, "It's me." And I was like, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry I didn't recognize you and I'm drunk. So I'm going to go to my room, have a lovely evening, bye-bye. I'll see you tomorrow. I need to get out of this situation
funny.
Right
but
now."
But yeah, but totally understandable that happens often.
Oh yeah. Yeah, but it's also fun because... You know, they always tell us in training, you got to watch out because you can tell airline crews. And 100%,
yeah.
I met a flight attendant who's actually now a pilot for Encore. And I met her because I was having a meal by myself. And I looked over and I saw this person sitting there. And I walked over and I went, "Hi, do you work at said airline?" "My name's Patrick. Can I sit and talk to you?" And she went, "Okay." And then we ended up chatting for like... an hour.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Well, thanks for letting me chat. See you later." And now I still run into her every once in a while, and she's a lovely person that's nice to see.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny because, like, I would say in my everyday life, I'm not an extrovert.
No.
On my days off, I'm very much an introvert. But at work, and work-related things, you have to be an extrovert.
Sure.
But it's just, I don't see myself that way. I don't know how you see yourself, but I don't. You're an actor, so you must...
Well, once I get out, I'm fine. But, like, so the goal for this year was to leave the house. Like, that's my that's my 2019 mantra, is leave the house.
So far, so good? 6 months in?
Well, yeah. I mean, because I like our house, and I like hanging out with my wife and kids, and we...
Which is a good thing.
Yeah, and we have, you know, we have cable. and I like watching TV.
Netflix?
Yeah, we have a yard, and you know, I've got a gas stove, and I've got my computer. Like, I play video games. So, yeah, I don't necessarily, but especially in my biz of acting and doing stand-up and trying to do all those things, you can't do that from, like, unless you're a YouTuber, right?
Yeah.
In which case, and I'm trying to figure that one out, because then I really won't leave the house.
It's funny because, speaking of being a YouTuber, you know, like, our kids are little, right? They're
in the, your kids want to be YouTubers too?
Yeah, like, what? I want to be a YouTuber. I'm like, but the thing is, it's not a far-fetched idea.
No, 100% not.
Like, it's just for us, it is, right?
No, it's not for me either. It's just that I don't want to do the work.
But
like when my kids go, "Oh, I want to be a YouTuber," I'm like, that means I'm going to have to set it up, and I'm going to have to edit it and film it, and I don't want to do all that work.
But some of those shows that they watch,
awful
families and
awful.
I'm like,
I banned.
It kills
YouTube.
Me inside a little bit.
I banned YouTube in our house for a while because they used to watch one called Skylanders, and these people. Play this game called Skylander and whatever, and they're kind of, you know, I don't necessarily agree with everything about them. And then I came home one day, and the girls were wee, and one of them said something to me, and I said, "Excuse me?" And they said it again, and I went, "Okay, that's it, no more YouTube." And they went, "What?" And I go, "You will not speak to me that way."
No,
and
sure.
I know that you're getting it from that. So guess what? That's gone.
Yeah.
And they were like, "What?" And now, and this was before I had figured out, because I'm sure it's been around, but with kids YouTube, and even then it's kind of like, you know, like the parental controls, there's still, you kind of gotta, I'm like, what are you guys watching right now? Like, the electronic babysitter is alive and well. So in my house it's actually, you can't watch YouTube, now you have to watch something scripted.
Okay.
And they're like, what? And I'm like, you have to watch something scripted. Like, you can watch a show on CBC, or you can watch a show on whatever, a good Disney channel or whatever, but it has to be scripted.
I like that.
Netflix. They like Netflix a lot, too. But their default is YouTube. They go straight to YouTube. Like, they'll sit there, and there's, like, a Japanese anime kind of cartoon thing that people set to songs, pop culture songs. It's like,
I don't know.
Well, I'm a bad parent, so, because sometimes, well, I'm just like, yeah, go watch that.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is a hazard of our jobs. Like, I am, like, the first day home after, like, a 4-day, I am useless.
Oh, yeah.
As, like, the saying goes, I'm as useless as a tea in Pinot Grigio. I'm just like, I don't care. Like, we're just going to survive today.
Yeah.
We're surviving.
Yeah, and, I mean, how do you find that? Do you guys still go on holidays?
We go on a family holiday, like, well, for one, if we can afford it.
Yeah.
Obviously. Two, like, I'd say, like, once every couple of years, we'll go on. We didn't go anywhere this year we're not going anywhere.
Well, and Vicky wants to go travel, but as I said, and it's better now because I'm not flying as much because I've done it part-time, but it's like the last thing that I want to do as someone who flies half the year is spend my time off in a hotel.
I know. I get it.
But then she's explained to me, and rightly so, that for someone who spends the whole year in the house, she'd like to leave the house.
Yeah,
and
fair
spend
enough.
Time as a family where she doesn't have to cook, which is funny because I do most of the cooking. But I get it. I get it.
Yeah. And once you get there to set destination,
it takes me about 2 days.
Oh, see, I'm like, I'm in it.
No.
Let's go.
No, it takes me 2 days. And then a day before we leave, I start tensing up again. So that's more than half our trip. Or that's half our trip.
Did you guys go somewhere this year?
We went two places. Well, we went home to Calgary for Christmas because we moved to Toronto. So this was the first Christmas. So we went back. And then we came home. And then, like, right away went on a cruise at the end of January, I think, for my father-in-law's 70th birthday.
Okay.
And that was great, actually.
Yeah.
I was ready for that.
I have yet to cruise.
If you like to eat, it's good.
Yeah. That's not my main goal.
No.
I like, personally, when I go on vacation with the family,
mm-hmm.
I like to be, like, just coast with the drinks, you know? Like.
Yes.
not drunk, but like not tipsy even, just
in a slightly mellow state.
Totally.
Yeah.
Right? It just...
Do you like having people cook for you? Like, do you like the all-inclusive kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind renting a condo, but James usually ends up doing most of the cooking. So for him, he really wants a break, right? Because I'm gone so much.
Right.
He wants the break, and he needs the break. So for him, I'm like, that's fine.
Yeah.
We can do all-inclusive.
Yeah.
But I actually do like renting a condo more, to be honest.
I'm a food snob, so I think that's my issue, is if we get, like, the cruise was good because the food was really good. We went to an all-inclusive in Mexico, and the food wasn't as good as I would have liked, and I get grumpy.
It never is, though.
Well, sometimes it is, you gotta pay more, I guess. Yeah.
So. With James and I went to the Moon Palace a couple of, like, I guess, like, maybe 4 years ago now, because time flies, but the food was... It was a very high-end resort. The food was good, but I mean, I'm not a foodie, I guess. I don't really care.
Well, if you don't care, then that's awesome.
Yeah. I'm just like, meh.
Yeah. But
I got...
Right. Like, we went to... My sister-in-law got married at a resort in Mexico, and we got there, and it was... The place was sponsored by Corona, so the only beer you could get was Corona.
Oh.
And I don't like Corona, so I was
like...
I don't
like beer.
Well, yeah, you could get mixed drinks and stuff like that, but like,
the only
I'm a beer,
beer
drinker,
was
so
Corona.
The, yeah, and I like Pacifico or Dos Equis or
sucks.
You know, or Modelo Dark every once in a while. Like, I like different types of beers.
Right.
So, and then there's a weird thing, like if you're at an all inclusive, like by day six, you're just like, I don't want to drink anymore. Like, I'm kind of done.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. Maybe you're like, well, I can keep going.
Because I won't get drunk.
No, I know, but I just sort of go, eh. I get twitchy, I think.
I feel like I just, for my own sanity. But next time, if like we're planning on going next year with his, we usually go with his parents.
Yeah.
And, but now, like, Hatley's going to be old enough that she can go into Kids Club.
The Kids Club.
Not that I'm going to put them there all day, but it's just nice at least to have the option.
Here's the deal with Kids Clubs, because I felt guilty about that on the boat and in the all-inclusive. And the thing is, you feel guilty for like a day, and then they get mad at you
if
you
won't
take them there.
I know, they love it. Like,
and then you're like, oh, okay, well, okay.
But then you feel, like, I guess you feel guilty because you're like, well, we're here as a family.
Man, we're going to see you at dinner.
Right? It's true. But like, Emilia went to Kids Club and went to Mexico a couple of years ago, and Hatley wasn't old enough, so we're like, okay, you can go in the morning, but in the afternoon you need to spend time with your sister because we're a family.
Right.
But she's like, but I want to go to the Kids Club. We're like, no.
Right.
We're going in the morning and that's it. But now, I guess, if they want to go all day, then we'll go all day and we'll just do our thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Have a nap.
Whatever that you want to do.
I want to have a nap.
Or, where you know, other things.
Other things.
Adult
thing.
Yeah. There's, you know, no interruptions.
No.
Right? Things like that.
Yeah, but then you're like, well, what am I going to do with the other 45 minutes?
Yeah, so read a book. Right? I always, if there's no kids, I just do lots of reading.
Yeah. I don't know what I do because I'm a planner.
Yeah.
So I don't do well in the... And the other thing was that the all-inclusive that we went to had a kids' club... and Vicky had checked beforehand if it was an all-day kids club, and they're like, yeah, it's an all-day kids club. And then we got there, they're like, yeah, except we take lunch from this hour to this hour. And it's like, so that's not all day.
Yeah,
so we would have to stop whatever we were doing and go get them.
Yeah.
And then take them back. So you can't do, like, the day excursions and stuff like that. You really got to bring your parents.
I don't know if you're allowed to leave the resort when you're when they're at the kids' club.
Well, we didn't find out because we had to pick them
up.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to in case something happens. I think that's the rule, which makes sense to me.
Yep.
But, yeah.
Family time without the family.
Well, James's parents just kind of, like, go off and they go to the adult area, and then we're left at the kids' area.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Well, why are they coming with you then?
I don't know.
We'll fix that in post. Anyway.
They're not going to listen.
They might. They might take an interest in your career.
Maybe. So, what got you in this skip to acting?
Okay.
What got you into acting?
I did an elective at university. So when I went to university, I went to Queens and I was in physics because I was going to get a degree in physics and then get my law degree and then go and do that. But I was always sort of the class clown, and I loved making people laugh. And then I did a drama elective in my first year, and I was like, oh, that's pretty good. And then and I sucked at physics at university. It was my second highest mark going into university, and also it was the first year I was sort of away from home and on my own. So I wasn't really super focused, and yeah. I didn't do very well my first academic year.
I think anybody does.
Yeah, but I like, so I was 2 points away from, 2 or 3 points away from being given a year off.
Oh.
But because of the way my average worked out, I wasn't even on academic probation. Like, it's weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
But the math worked out that if I had failed that course, they would have said, you can take a year off.
Okay.
But because I passed it and I had such a high mark in my drama, whoops, sorry, my drama class.
Patrick's spitting on me.
I totally did, across the room, that I was higher than the academic probation cutoff.
Well, that's good.
And then I started doing a lot of shows at university, and then after university, I moved to Banff for a year and a half to sort of figure things out, and I applied to law school and I didn't get in because of said university marks. And then I kind of thought, you know, I think I'd like to try this acting thing. So I moved back to Calgary and then ended up in Vancouver, and then I went and did more training and Gastown Actors Studio and the Vancouver Improviser, Vancouver Theatre Sports. And then I went and did a 1 year postgraduate in classical theatre at the London Academy of Music and Dramatic Arts.
That's really cool.
It was great. It was a lot of fun. It's actually our 20th anniversary this year.
Are you guys having a reunion?
No.
No. And if you were, would you go?
Yes. I would.
It's because you can.
Well, it's funny because, so it, the 1 year postgraduate was, at that time at Lambda, was for international students and kids whose parents were in the biz.
So where you fell under the international?
So, yeah. So I was one of the international students that went. But it was sort of, they had the three-year program, which was the long program, and they were introducing a two-year program. But the one-year program was for people who wanted to be able to say they'd gone to Lambda.
Okay.
But wanted to crank it out in a year. And so, there were kids in the industry whose parents were in the industry, so they kind of went there. So,
anyone famous?
Yeah. There were a couple of people, but the best part about that was that I didn't know who they were because they were English. And so I didn't really research it, so I just, you know, it was great because there's a weird thing, and it's taken me a long time to kind of figure it out, is not to fanboy over people when
yeah.
I meet them. And actually, there was a guy in my class that I did it to, and so there's a playwright called Tom Stoppard. Who's wrote Rose and Clarence and Guildenstern Are Dead is the play, The Invention of Love, Arcadia. He also wrote Shakespeare in Love, the movie. And his son was in my class, and I was a huge fan of his dad's work, and sort of that's how I opened.
Right.
It was like, oh my God, I'm such a huge fan of your dad's. The problem is that everybody says that to him all the time.
Sure.
And so instantly he did not want to talk to me anymore.
Right. He wants to be his own person.
Yeah, and rightly so.
Rightly so, yeah.
And it was just, it's too bad because I thought he was super cool, but he just did not, like, that was it. That was the first impression, and then it just didn't kind of change. So it was too bad. But I met some good people there, and I'm still in touch with a bunch of them. One of them is not an actor. She, in fact, lives off the grid in Belize now in an Earth ship, which is... amazing, but we keep in touch on Facebook, and one of them
is... So she's not off the grid completely.
No. No, no. And then one of them is a theater actor in San Clemente. So we're still in touch, and one of my friends was... he does fight. He's like a big fight director in the United States now, because that was one of the things we were really interested in our program. And so he teaches that, and he's pretty up in American fight choreography. And yeah, so it's great. Social media, you can sort of keep in touch with people and just sort of touch base and that sort of stuff. And the Canadians, I'm in touch with the Canadians who are around.
Who's the most famous person that you've met so far?
Who I've met?
Yeah. Or worked with, or...
Well, I think Jason Priestley is the most famous person I've worked with, because he directed Dear Santa.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right, everybody. Dear Santa, this is Patrick, the chef.
That's right. I played the gay soup kitchen chef in Dear Santa. That's the biggest role
circa
of my career.
2000 and...
Well, what year was that? 11.
11.
Because Zoe was just turning one.
Okay.
Just turning one.
And how
2008 is when I started at said airline. So this was, I took taken a leave of absence for the second half of Zoe's, like, Vicky went back to work after 6 months.
Oh, and you did?
Me take 6 months.
Like paternity leave?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then right near the end of my paternity leave is when the audition came up, and so I was able to do.
And how did you land that role?
It's funny. This is a good story. I like this story because it's very much sort of the Calgary industry in a nutshell. They were auditioning me for a one-line part, and then that part got cut. And then they said, so come in and read for this supporting lead role. And I was like, okay. And I had asked for the script for the one line just so I could read the script.
Right.
So then I get the supporting lead role, and I'm reading the character description, and at the beginning it says, a lip gloss wearing gay man. And I went, oh, I know exactly what this is. Like, they want the comic relief best friend, and they want over-the-top gay.
Right.
And there's something weird with the... There's just, if you're going to do that stereotype, right? Like, I think there's a guy I met, and he is not, like, as over the top as I was doing it, but he's a pretty dynamic, and I mean that, dynamic, like a very outgoing, dynamic kind of, but you can tell he's gay, right? And he said, I'm gay, and I'm going to go audition for this part, and you're the one who's probably going to get it.
Right.
And then I did. and so I went and did the audition, and... I did the first scene, and the casting director, Jackie Lynn, said, I don't need to see the second scene. Come back tomorrow for the director and the producer.
That's
and I
awesome.
Said, okay. And then I came back again, and, like, I wore full makeup. I had faux-hawked my hair. I had, like, glitter that I borrowed from Vicky in there. And I just did my thing and did the first scene, and Jason went, oh, that was really good. You want to see anything else? No. Do the next one. I did the next one, and he went, oh, that's really good. Cool. Anything else? No. And I said, okay, great.
Is he as nice as he seems?
He absolutely is. He really is. He's so down to earth, and he's kind.
He seems like he's a very nice person.
You know, and the great thing about him was for a few years afterwards, that's how I ended up in Toronto, actually, because I had emailed him afterwards and I went, hey, so I'm actually looking for a bit of career advice because I'm trying to figure out what to do and where to go and how did you get down to LA and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, and he answers my emails.
That says a lot.
Yeah, because he doesn't have to.
No.
He's got stuff to do.
Yeah.
Right? So he's
like 90210 is coming back.
Right? Yeah.
Hey-o. Yeah. Pretty excited about it. Anyway.
But yeah, so that was sort of the biggest role of my life and career to date. And yeah.
We've had some appearances on Murdoch Mysteries, Heartland.
Madison was another one that shot out in... A lot of Canadian TV.
Which is... And you know what, though? Like, I find Canadian television is getting pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, Schitt's Creek.
Schitt's Creek was a great show. One of my biggest... I'm so sad that they're wrapping up, and I didn't get on that.
What?
Yeah, they're done.
Oh. I feel like every show that I like these days is like, wrapping up.
You know what's great about Schitt's Creek and the way they did it, though, is they said, this is the story we wanted to tell, and we got to the point where we've told the stories we want to tell.
So, like, is there going to be another season, or is it done?
What season are they in now? Six? I don't remember. I know that whatever season...
Is it six already?
Yeah. Let me check. I'm going to check the IMDb.
Oh. Well, I just saw Daniel Levy's acceptance speech for his whatever award. I don't really know. MTV something or other.
Oh, did he get an MTV award?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, he had a really nice heartfelt speech about just be a good person.
Yeah, you know, there's I like the fact that people are saying that more these days, but on the other hand, I'm a little sad that people need to be saying it so much these days.
Yeah, because if you worked in our industry, you would know people need to be told that.
Yeah, I think everybody needs to be told that, though. I mean, I was talking to you briefly before we started this about Gary Vaynerchuk, and that's his big thing these days is, you know, be kind to each other.
That's what Ellen says, right? After every show.
Yeah, and yes, that is. That's exactly your tagline.
Yeah.
And Oprah, too. You know, all these people who are like, be nice to each other. And everyone's like, nah, I don't want to do that. So.
I'm going to sit behind a computer screen and just rip you a new one because I don't have the balls to say it to your face.
Right.
Because that's what happens these days.
On March 21st, 2019, it was announced that the show would air a sixth and final season consisting of 14 episodes.
So there's one more season?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's a great show.
It is.
It's a great show.
What about, there's that Mr. D?
Mr. D's done.
Yeah, but that was a good TV show.
Was a good show, yeah.
I've heard Kim's Convenience is supposed to be
great funny. Show.
I haven't watched it.
Yeah, great show. It's a great show. And the CBC's got Murdoch Mysteries has been around forever. CBC, Heartland is the longest running.
Is it still on?
Heartland?
I've never watched it.
Yeah, it is. I don't know why. I think they're on season 14 now. And then Frankie Drake Mysteries is a new CBC.
Is the guy, the main character from Murdoch Mysteries, isn't he also Napkin Man or whatever on that kids' TV show?
I don't know. Yannick Bisson?
Or no, or is that then... What was that Canadian show, The Mountie? They had the Mountie. The Mounties.
Oh, like Due South?
Maybe that's what
Paul
it was.
Gross?
Well, anyway, one of the guys that was on one of the, like, shows, like a real TV show, was also played in a kid's show. He was a napkin man.
That's not surprising.
It was cute, though.
Canadian television.
James's brother has a crush on whatever that actor.
That's funny. Now I'm gonna check that. I'm a constant searcher, Googler.
Oh yeah, I love Google.
The Adventures of Napkin Man. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yannick Bisson. Yep.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Yep.
Two very different roles.
Yes.
But he's great on that the kid show. That's where I know him from.
You know him from the kid show.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I would love to get into animation or kid shows and stuff like that, too. I mean, I mean, ideally, I'd like to work full-time in the entertainment industry. So the next couple of years is just trying to figure out what that would look like.
Right.
Like, we've been out here for a year, and like, there aren't any excuses anymore. Like, I'm in Toronto. Like, this is it. Like, Toronto has more work than Vancouver, even. I mean, they're neck and neck, but there's... Statistically, there's more work in Toronto, and they're building two new six soundstage studios, one in Hamilton, one in Toronto. Like, there's just, and Netflix has signed a new deal. They're going to be producing more content out of Toronto. Actually, they just announced that they're doing an Indigenous program as well for creating Indigenous content.
Okay.
Which is great.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, the other thing, too, is, I mean, we live in the world where we're podcasting now. You're podcasting, and there's YouTube, and a web series pilot on YouTube, and like you can create your own work. You just have to do it and then put it out there.
But you were saying on that podcast that I watched that you're part of ACTRA.
I am, yes.
Correct? So you have to be careful in what you're doing on your own time.
It's not necessarily being careful. It's just that if I want to do something that is acting, then I have to make sure that I follow the ACTRA guidelines to do it,
okay.
which means that I have to insure the actors. I have to make sure that they're getting paid and I'm working on a contract and that I'm adhering to the rules that they have for how long you can film and that sort of stuff, which, you know, these are all things I agree with anyway. Like when we did the parent council, we actually had, we made everyone sign a no harassment it's not sexual assault, but like a code of conduct rider.
Okay.
Because it's gotten to the point where now I just want to set the tone.
Absolutely.
That if you're working on this set and you start making jokes that are making someone uncomfortable, or they're racist, or someone is getting sexually harassed, that's unacceptable. And we spent a fair amount of time trying to draft this, and I had another production company ask me to use ours for one of their productions. So it's great, because originally I was just going to write, don't be an asshole, and if you're an asshole, we're going to fire you. And my wife said, you can't put that. And I go, but that's it. Like, that's
the point.
It. The point is, if you're an asshole, I'll fire you. And she's like, you have to say more than that. And I was like...
more eloquent.
I guess. But, you know, when it boils down to, like, just don't be a fucking asshole. Yeah. It's pretty straightforward.
And that goes... That's life. Just don't be an asshole.
Yeah. We should get t-shirts made up.
Just don't be an asshole. I mean, sometimes you... there are times in your life where you need to put your foot down. You need to stand up for yourself.
That's different.
There's
an abuse of power.
For sure.
There's ways in which you're doing it, and yeah. And honestly, I've been listening a lot to Jocko Willink, who wrote a book called Extreme. What is it? Extreme Ownership, and it's a leadership book. And his philosophy on that is, if you are a leader and something goes wrong, it's your fault.
Right.
Because you as a leader have failed somehow. So, and you need to take it and own it. And even if someone else did it, you have to own that, because that means that you didn't properly communicate the expectations ahead of time. You didn't properly groom your people. You picked the wrong people. Whatever it is,
sure.
It's your fault. So
So would you say in your life that you're a leader or a follower, or do you kind of fall under both categories?
I think that I am a follower, and I think I'm trying to learn how to lead, because I have projects that I want to do, and really I want other people to take the lead on them so that I can do them, but it doesn't work that way. Like the parent council, there was an instance once where I was trying to, you remember the Big Rock Eddies?
Yep.
So I had a colleague, and I had this great idea for an Eddie, and I was telling her about it, and we were working on it, and I talked to her a couple times, and she finally looked at me, and she went, it sounds like you just want me to do it. Like, this is your project. If you want to do it, then you have to do it.
Right.
And that was the best. I mean, it was harsh at the time, but was
sometimes
absolutely
you need that
right.
Kick in the behind, right? To be like,
yeah.
Slap in the face, like, you're right.
Yeah, because no one's gonna care about your project as much as you do.
Okay, well let's talk about your personal project. As in, what did you do? Where did I find you? And I sent you a picture from Beachbody. You worked on your own project, right? And you did so well with your Beachbody program.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
You're like, Patrick's like, what are you talking about?
No, I know where you're going with this
now.
And
I was like, because I use Beachbody, and I was like going through, and I was like, hey, I know that guy.
Yeah.
And I took a screenshot and I sent it to you, and I was like, hey, that's so awesome. Congratulations. You hadn't even seen it yet.
I hadn't seen it. And the only reason I had it was, and they never told me. I had filled the thing out.
Yeah.
And I think they'd gotten back in touch with me to further ask me some questions, because I was a Beachbody coach for a while. In fact, I actually went to Summit, which is like the Beachbody sort of yearly training, I guess.
Yeah.
Right?
With all the trainers, like the real
Yeah, the like real
the famous trainers,
yeah,
the, Autumn Calabrese.
Yes, but also the really big coaches.
Okay.
Who are like the diamond coaches because they teach you the sales techniques and all that kind
okay.
of stuff. I'll tell you one thing that's great. There's lots of great things about Beachbody. And one of them is the amount of support and professional development that they provide for their coaches if you want to take it. And so I still use Beachbody. I use Beachbody on demand.
That's great.
And I still do Shakeology. And because I'm a discount coach now, I still have access to all the professional development.
But
so Success Magazine and all that stuff.
Yeah, but see, you took your own project, like your body, and you took the lead on it, and you went.
Yeah, because one of the tenets in Beachbody was prove the product works.
It does work. It totally. Those programs definitely work if you follow the program.
Yeah.
You follow the eating plan. You follow the program. 100%, they work. You just have
also,
to.
My after picture was taken when I was on a layover in Maui.
Nice.
So that didn't hurt.
No.
That I'm standing there looking buff with palm trees and the ocean in the background. So,
like, you looked, not that you don't look good now, but like.
Mm. No, but I've gone.
It's hard, though. It's honestly hard. I've been there, like, where I've never submitted any photos, but to, like, maintain that sort of physique.
It's the food.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Because we all like the bad things.
Sure.
Right?
But they, again, Jocko, I was listening to, he was on a podcast called In the Moment with Brian Koppelman, who's the writer of Billions, the TV show Billions, and Rounders. And it is a great one. But he was talking about being a good person and willpower, and Jocko's like, I don't believe this whole thing about willpower. He's like, are you telling me that donut has more willpower than you do? Because that donut is willing itself on you?
Sometimes.
And I thought, that's... And so look, today when I ate the donut, I was like, damn you, donut. Because I did. I bought donuts for us today. I went to Glory Hole Donuts.
Glory Hole Donuts?
I know. Hey, great name. Inappropriate touching. Yeah, it's called Glory Donuts, and it's near Roncesvalles. And
that's funny.
We got a Ferrero Rocher donut and a Rice Krispie donut.
For the kids? Or
I bought four, and I brought them home, and then we ate them. Because I spent the whole day cleaning the garage today, and I was like, we get a treat.
But yeah, it's hard to only eat the good things.
Yeah, and it's also when we talk about the Beachbody stuff and we talk about how they want you to coach and support people, it's about figuring out the why. And if you can start with the why, which actually, funnily enough, is the name of Simon Sinek's book, Start With Why. I think it's great because it's that's the heart of it. If you know why you're doing something, then when it gets hard, because it's always going to get hard,
always,
then that will move you through. Because me wanting to look like that is not the driving force. Like, because when I'm feeling shitty about cleaning the garage and the fact that I haven't booked a gig in 6 months and all that sort of stuff, but I don't really care if I look like that. But I would really like that donut that's. Or cookies. I baked a whole bunch of cookies while I
saw
was.
That, yeah.
And they're gone. Like half of them are gone. I'm just so, yeah. But so that's the struggle, and it's also it's a longer term view, and again that factors into when I say that I want to work in the entertainment industry. It's like, how do I want to work in the entertainment industry? Because if I want to be an actor and I want to be a leading man, like a leading character actor, which I don't see myself as. I see myself as a supporting character actor, like in Dear Santa, right? But when I got
that's back, your comfort zone?
Kind of. Like, I just... Yeah, because, like, I don't think I'm Chris Evans. I don't think I'm Robert Downey Jr. But when I got back to Toronto, my agent submitted me to a casting director who does a lot of Hallmark movies, and she's like, where's this guy been? And he's like, you got to grow your hair out. And I was like,
is this
okay.
Is that where you're going? Is this what's
this
happening
is,
now?
This is cut back a bit because I looked like a Muppet before, but now
but you're growing your hair out now?
A little, yeah, okay. to have it longer because they can always cut it.
Right.
And then I lost 10 pounds since I've been out here, but I honestly probably have another 15 to 20 to go to be camera ready.
Does it really add 10 pounds?
100% does. 100%.
So basically you need to be 10 pounds lighter.
Yeah, or you have to have, like, no... It depends what role you're going for, right?
Right, of course,
like,
of course.
So, the Dear Santa, that movie with Amy Acker and what is her name? Oh, I can't believe I'm gabbing on this. Those two women... I'm going to check it while I'm talking and telling you the story. Those two women look like they need to eat food when you see them in real life, in my opinion.
But on the movie.
But in film, they look great.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's gonna be a real struggle. Like, a real mind F.
Yeah. But Gina Holden, the lovely, lovely Gina Holden. I don't know why I forgot that. She's just great, Gina. I love her. She's very... She's another person who's very supportive of me after that came out. So she lives down in LA.
It'd be awesome to see you, because as we were talking about earlier, not on the podcast, but earlier, about the Hallmark movies that come November when all the movies are coming out. I just love them.
Christmas or Valentine's Day?
Doesn't matter. Christmas, there's more Christmas.
Yeah.
James knows that's happening. His mom, I had reserve, which I don't hold very often, but in December, and his mom came to watch the girls, and we would just sit around all afternoon watching.
Then watch the movies?
Yeah, because she loves them, I love them, whatever.
Yeah.
They're so obvious, right? Like, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah, but that's part of what they're comforting about.
Like, it's just like, they're endearing.
Yeah.
Right? And sometimes you just want fluff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing, like, not like there's anything wrong with it. I just...
No. I don't think that... Look, at this point, I would like to be a working actor. So, and I am working. I'm just not getting paid for it. So, I think that that's... So, again, Gina, who I was talking about, she did soap operas for a bit. They brought her in on a soap opera. And because they do those every day...
Right.
They bring her in. They bring her into her dressing room. It's a lovely appointed dressing room because they're in a studio, right? So it's an actual green room. And they've got fruit and this and that. And, hey, we're going to get to you in about 20 minutes. And can we get you anything else? She goes and does it. They're like, that was great. 3 or 4 takes. Lovely to have you. Thank you so much for coming in. She's like, I would do that gig every day if I could. Because they were treating her so nicely and she had a good time and did good work. The job, I always say this to my dad, that acting, the job is finding the job. That's the job. The job is training and being ready for it. You know, like everyone, and I used to do this too to a certain extent, so I understand this now. I spend a lot of time on professional development to try and change my mindset because I know what I need to do, but I'm not doing it. So you don't get the role and then get ready for it. You're ready for the role and that's why you get it. So if you want to do those superhero roles or whatever, then you have to be in shape. You have to have been doing the martial arts and all that stuff. Like, there's a certain amount of craft that's involved and there's a certain amount of repetition and honing that if you're not doing it, like, of course the person who has been is going to get the job. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, so that's part of what being in Toronto and, you know, only working weekends and when the days are free, it's like, so how am I going to hone my craft today?
So what made you try your hand at comedy? Stand-up comedy.
Yeah, stand-up comedy was, my mom always said, you know, stand-up comics are bitter, cynical people. And I said, and your point is? I did it because stand-up comedy is, you have the most control over from an artist. You write it, you decide whether or not you want to go out and do it, and then you find out if people like it, and then you continue working, and if you can work hard enough and make enough people laugh, then they will support you.
How scary was it for you to get up there the first time?
It wasn't super scary because I'd been to a bunch of open mics and I had that terrified thing. And then I went and watched the people who were actually doing it. And I went, that's what I'm worried about. Like, these people are awful and they're not getting booed off stage or murdered. So, and look, everybody has to start somewhere. I'm not saying, but like when you see someone who's going up there and they're doing it and they're just fucking awful, then you go, why, what's holding me back? Like, there's nothing that's gonna hurt me. And also, so I have performance experience, so it's a different ball game for me, right? But it was, I don't understand the craft of stand-up and how to create a set. So the first set that I did, which will have been 20 years ago, was based on my mother's funeral. It's 5 minutes based on my mother's funeral. And it's all stuff that was coming up as we were going through the process. And then I just kind of wrote it all down and I went and did the set. I had already booked on to do a set somewhere and then she passed away. So I went back and then by the time I got back and they were like, so you want to do the set? Like, I was like, yeah, and I've got the 5 minutes. And then the second time I did it was the one I was really scared about because Brett Butt used to run a room in Vancouver called the Urban Well in Kitsilano.
Okay.
And they had two shows. They had the early show and the late show. And so I called to get a spot. And he goes, yeah, so have you done comedy before? And I said, oh, yeah, I just did the Jupiter Room like a couple days ago. And he went, okay, well, I'm putting you on the late slot. And I hung up and thought to myself, what have I just done? Because the late spot was where the pros would go.
Yeah.
And clearly I made it sound like I did stand-up all the time.
Like, oh, yeah, no problem.
Oh, yeah, no, I just did this my very first set 2 days ago. And so then I kind of panicked, and so I called everyone I knew. And I had, like, 20 people in that room. And I did the set, and it went pretty well. It was okay. And I got off, and then Brent came on the stage, and he made a crack about the set, and they all booed him and turned on him, and he was like, oh, okay, Patrick brought some friends today. And it was great. I mean, but stand-up is like any other. In fact, one of the hardest art forms, in my opinion, because you're by yourself.
Yeah.
You are effectively writing a one-person show. It's actually the only art form that's not recognized by the Canada Council for you to be able to get a grant for. So it's just interesting. Like, I mean, and I think that when you have really great stand-up, it is an art form.
Like, James and I, that's a passion of ours. We love stand-up comedians.
Oh, great.
Like,
Who's your favorite? Who do you like?
We love Jerry Seinfeld,
yeah.
Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah.
Nate Varghese is a new one that we just fell into. I think we like comedians that are like clean, right? You don't need to swear every 2 seconds and just.
Have you looked at Jim Reagan?
Is there a Brian Regan too?
Yes, that's who I mean.
Yeah, we just actually started watching him.
Yeah,
the other
you know,
day. He's funny too.
Jim's brother Brian. That's who I was thinking of.
Yeah,
you're
totally.
Right.
Yeah, Brian. Yeah, he's funny too. So that's kind of our thing, and we were bummed we didn't get to see you in Calgary because, you know, we have kids. We can't just leave them alone.
No.
But we really wanted to see you do the stand-up, and you did that Caillou bit about...
Yes.
Which is hilarious because I don't think there's any parent on the face of the earth who actually likes Caillou.
You know, and here's a fun fact that I came across the other day is there was a search on Caillou that was trending. Because someone Googled, how tall is Caillou? But the answer came back that Caillou was 5'11". And everyone's like,
what?
Are his parents giants then? Like, if the kid is 5'11", how tall are the parents? So it was very funny. Yeah, but Caillou.
Who is your comedic idol?
I loved Robin Williams.
Of course, yeah.
I really liked Bill Cosby before it was not cool to like Bill Cosby.
The hashtag Me Too movement.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, he was a great
for sure
a storyteller.
Yeah.
I really like Mike Birbiglia these days.
I think I know who that is.
He's got a Netflix special on called Thank God for Jokes. But he has a current show called The New One. And it just finished an off-Broadway run.
Okay.
And I saw it at JFL 42 a couple of years ago, which is the comedy festival in Toronto.
Okay.
I was like in the front row for that.
Awesome. It's my favorite place to be.
Yeah.
In the front.
And then I saw it again when he came through Calgary. And I took Vicky because I'm like, you have to come see the show. It's so great. And she was good. He lost her on one bit. And it was weird because afterwards I'm like, so what'd you think? She's like, oh, he lost me here. And I was like, what? But I want to study him because I like his comedy it leans more towards storytelling and one person show kind of thing. John Mulaney.
Yeah, he's funny.
Yeah,
I like him.
There's a horse in the hospital.
So distinctive, hey?
Yeah. Yeah.
So distinctive. I would definitely see him live. Like, we've seen Jerry Seinfeld live.
I did see him live. He was great.
Okay, yeah, Calgary. I can imagine.
Yeah.
Oh, he was in Calgary?
He was.
I'm hoping Nate comes to Calgary.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to... I don't know. Right now, he's only doing U.S.
Well, I've actually, because of our job, Mike is going to be doing his show at a theater in St. Paul, Minneapolis.
Sure. How are you getting there?
We fly into St. Paul. Or...
What?
And if we don't we fly to Minneapolis?
I don't know. Maybe, like, through it.
You know what? Interline. Maybe we don't. It is Interline, yeah. Because I asked someone, and they were like, hey, so I checked it out, and it was, like, $100 each way. And I was like, perfect. I can do that.
Okay.
Because my friend from theater school, who is a fight director, lives in Minneapolis.
Oh, okay.
So I might...
I mean, for sure, that's a great thing that we can do with our job, is we can go to a different city.
Yeah.
But it's always nice when they come to your city, because it just makes it easier and
for
cheaper.
Sure.
But...
I also like Ali Wong.
Yes. Oh, my God.
She's great.
She is hilarious.
And Ilsa Schlesinger, I liked her.
I just don't like when she does, like, the thing.
Yeah, sometimes it's annoying.
I like her.
I like her content.
The whole prison drunk thing, the scope, goes to the bathroom and drinks like
no.
Scope and gets prison drunk.
That's funny.
I thought it was hilarious. Yeah, and there's a lot that I like. Erica, she's Sigourney.
Oh,
she's Canadian.
I never get her name right.
We actually sat front row in Calgary at Comedy Cave or Comedy the Just for whatever Just for Laughs used to be in Blackfoot.
Oh yeah, okay.
What, it's a new name now.
Yeah, it's what Yuck Yucks used to be.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yuck Yucks. What Yuck Yucks used to be.
And I don't remember what it's called.
She's like, she called me a skinny bitch. And I was like, okay.
I'll take it.
I'll take it.
Thank you.
No, she's funny. I really enjoyed her as well.
Yeah.
We both did. But that's like our thing. Like, we don't really do music because of like the 10-year age gap isn't really...
Yeah.
We don't have much in common music-wise.
Bo Burnham. Have you seen Bo Burnham's special on Netflix?
Maybe. I'd have to see his face.
Make Happy?
No, I don't think so.
You gotta watch that one.
Hilarious?
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's the best one I've seen in a long time.
Okay, I'll definitely check it out then.
Because I've been watching, like, I watched Ken Jeong's comedy special, and it was okay. And I watched Ellen's, and I was like, eh. But, yeah, I hadn't, and I love Ellen, and I love him too. I was like, I'm not getting anything new. I like Jim Jeffries a lot.
I don't know him very well.
I like his gun control bit.
Yeah.
Like, I love that bit. And he's a lad. So I like that, you know? Like, he's a lad. He's a... which I always think is funny from a distance. So... but, yeah. And then there was a guy named Kyle Brownrigg, who I just... So I have a friend who... her name is Marilla Wex, and she recorded her first comedy album.
Okay.
And the guy who emceed for her... His name is Kyle Brownrigg, and I thought he was fantastic.
Okay.
And he actually just won a Canadian Comedy Award for his comedy album. So, yeah, I like him too.
No, there's definitely a lot of great comedians out there. I just love to laugh.
Yeah.
Like James always says, if I die first, he's going to miss my laugh the most.
That's sweet.
He's like a silent laugher.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bah, ha, ha, like super loud. Because I just like to laugh.
Yeah.
And it's funny you laugh.
That's why I like doing comedy.
Yeah.
Because I like being on the other end of the laugh.
Yeah. Because you're funny.
Well, you know, when you're flying, 2 shows daily.
Right? I'm only like funny one-on-one. I don't want to appease a whole audience.
I just, you know what, at this point, that's the stage time I'm getting. So I will do the crowd work, and I will do the safety demo. And as soon as someone starts filming, I go behind the partition, and I go right back to the safety demo the way it's supposed to be. Because I don't want to lose my job yet.
If you could give any piece of advice to people who are pursuing their acting / comedy / busy, like the biz.
Yeah.
What would you say?
Do it. Go do it. Anything. It's all in the act of doing. You can talk about it until the cows come home, but you're not going to get any better. You got to go fail, and you got to fail fast so that you fail, you fail, you fail, and then one time you don't fail.
I think that's what kids need to learn, is like, it's okay to fail.
I tell my kids that every day.
Because Zoe, is she still interested in acting?
No.
Okay, that was...
Yes, at school.
But not
professionally. Okay. Whereas Riley now wants to start doing it. And she actually did. We took her out to an open call at the CBC, and she did a segment for Today's Thing, which apparently they were editing. I don't know if it got edited or not, but she went in and did ballet with the host. But she wants to do it. And again, you know... Then it's a lot of work for the parents.
Yeah.
And that's the trouble with it, because I'm trying to focus on my own career.
Yeah,
it's not that I... You know, like these parents...
No, I get it.
These parents who... There's something called the Coogan Act in the States, because this child actor, when he turned 18, there was no money because his parents had spent it all. And I have not touched anything that Zoe has made. It's invested. I did take out stuff that was business related, like headshots and fees like that. But there's a spreadsheet where that's documented. I didn't take any money for my services or as
stage
a manager. Debt. Yeah, right? But, like, I mean, there's a lot of time that goes into that.
I can imagine. Yeah, right now you're trying to focus on you.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah, but this is the thing, that when you have parents who want to do that for their kids, is what you don't understand is the reason an agent can make a living is because they have 100 clients.
Yeah.
You have one kid. Like, you're not going to be able to support a household on one kid.
No.
Unless you become a YouTube star and you open stuff.
Oh, man.
Right?
But, like, I'm trying to tell Amelia, I think she really suffers from being a perfectionist.
Oh, yeah. No, get
and
over
so,
that.
Like,
you gotta...
So I'm like, with reading, she's a little bit behind. I think it's just because it's her own confidence. She doesn't want to make a mistake.
Right.
You know, and it's French and it's different. And
I get that.
And I'm
I
like,
get that all
yeah,
the time.
And I'm like, it's okay to make a mistake.
Yeah.
It's okay to not be good at something right away.
Yeah, and I find that when I go to audition, I'm crippled by wanting to get it right.
For sure.
Well, there is no right. Like... Be prepared, be present, be in the moment, be yourself.
Yeah.
But you, there's all this pressure when you're an actor and you go in and audition all the time that you got to get it right because you got to get the part, you got to get paid. And it's like, no, that's the great thing about Toronto. Like, I can tell you, like, if for this quarter, for the past 3 months, I've had 39 auditions. So... At that point, it's less about getting it right, because now it's like, well, there's another one and I got to prepare for that one and I'm on to the next thing. And like, a lot of them are commercials, but there's been some film and TV stuff, and it's varied. And so then it's about honing the craft. Whereas, you know, like in Calgary, it would have taken me 3 years to get that many.
Well, because Calgary doesn't really, it's not a booming.
No.
No. Otherwise, you would have stayed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, or I would have created my own work. There's a really great guy in a bunch of great people in Calgary, Matt Waterworth and Scott Westby, who I've worked with. They have a production company called Full Swing, and they're on their third feature because they're doing the work, and they do corporate filming. But they made a conscious choice that they wanted to stay in Alberta, and they're going to grow the industry, and they're going to produce, right?
That's great.
So another guy named Jason Therrien, he's done a bunch of films as a producer. He puts himself into a lot of his work, and so he should, and he's doing well. Ron E. Scott, who's out of Edmonton, is filming Tribal right now. The previous show he did was called Blackstone, which is pretty much like the Aboriginal Sopranos. And it was great. And it got great reviews and was picked up on Netflix, and it's a fantastic show. So it's not... So, yes, like, because I want to be an actor, but to create your own work and to do it takes so much more energy and time, and you're working, like, you're working for free a lot. Like, the Parent yeah. Council cost me $5,000 to do. And I'm proud of that work, but I can't
doing that.
Work myself into the hole.
No.
Like, you know, I produced a play once and I didn't spend enough time on the marketing and audience development and tickets and stuff. And I had to get bailed out by my dad, which I won't forget. First of all, because it happened. But secondly, because he won't let me forget it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's the lesson. So, but I think... To your original question, the piece of advice is just do something. Like, even if it's, like, anybody can film something on their phone now, and you have YouTube. And if you're not a union actor, find other people that you can write with. And if it doesn't work, then find other people you can write with.
Right.
And don't be so precious with your ideas. Like, because ideas are, everybody has ideas.
Do you think it's hard to truly have an original idea now?
I mean, I don't know the answer to that question. Yes and no. I mean, I think Billions is a great show. It's the one that I'm watching right now, and I love the ideas. But when it boils down to it, they're all about love and power and struggle and conflict.
Like, you know? Dynasty? Have you watched that?
No.
They remade Dynasty.
Well, yeah, so there you go.
Yeah.
So are there any original ideas?
Love, power...
But those are the stories that we tell, right? So I don't know that an idea has to be original. It's going to be original because it's going to be your take on the idea. So, you know, the argument that how do you write new music when you only have, you know, 8 notes in an octave?
You just do it.
Yeah. I think it's more, like, as I'm getting older and looking at it, it's more about creating the work and doing it. It's not about being right.
And finding your why.
What?
And finding your why.
Yeah, well, finding your why is, I mean, why you're going to keep going, right? Like, at our age, well, my age, you'll get there in 10 years. It's more about, like, do I still want to do this? Like, are my reasons for doing this still the same? Or have they changed? And are they as important as they used to be? Like, my kids are really important to me right now. And my family is really important to me right now. So acting, I'm not working as hard as I would have if I were single
For
and
sure.
pursuing this.
I totally respect that. Because you can't be selfish and be in a marriage...
Oh, you can, then it ends.
Okay, I guess if you want to have a successful marriage and be a good parent, you can't be selfish all the time.
I think you're right, but I also think that, you know, I think it has to do with having a good partnership and negotiating tasks.
And your wife is very supportive.
She is very supportive. She moved across the country to a place there where she knows no one. She does now. But, I mean... You know, and so in exchange for that, I want to make sure that, first of all, I don't let her down. So I try and, you know, as I'm grinding along and getting discouraged and thinking, should we have left Calgary? I just remind myself that the reason I'm here is because I believe that I can do it.
Right.
and I don't, again, this is a Gary Vaynerchuk line, but the big thing about, and other people too, is the biggest thing is regret. If you talk to people who live in old folks' homes, they'll tell you about what they regret not having done, not the mistakes they made. So I don't want to regret that I didn't go after the dream and fully pursue it. And so this is, you know, but at the same time, we're coming on 50. The clock is ticking. There's only so many career changes you can go. Like, no one wants to mentor a 50-year-old. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. They're like, hey, I need some help. They're like, you're 50. Why are you just starting this now? It's like, yeah, I am.
Yeah, I am.
So then it's a question of what's more important. Like, the Tony Robbins has a great line that you get what you can tolerate. And I, again, he's not in favor either right now, but...
what happened to him? What's he on fire for?
Same kind of harassment. Yeah. Or there was a woman who was talking in one of his seminars, and he pushed her and was being very dismissive, and there's harassment allegations against him, but... It doesn't necessarily... I try and... Anyway, the point that I'm making about that line that sticks with me is the idea. And the idea is that we get what we can tolerate. Like, if I'm living in a house where it's a mess all the time and the carpets need to be replaced and I can tolerate that, then that's the best I'm going to do. But if at a certain point I can't tolerate that anymore, then I'm going to work harder or do what needs to be done to get to the next level.
Absolutely.
Where I can tolerate.
Yeah.
So right now I am finding out what my tolerance is.
What are you the most proud of personally and professionally?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Thanks.
What am I most proud of? I'm proud of a bunch of work I've done. I think the Parent Council is something I'm really proud of, because it was creating the idea and then finding people to help me execute it and actually getting it done. So yeah, I think that would be one of the things I'm most proud of professionally. Personally, I'm pretty proud of my kids.
I know you are, and it's adorable.
Yeah, I mean, they're amazing, and that's why, that's part of what drives me to do better, is for them and to teach them to be better people.
It's a hard job teaching kids to be a good person.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, look, I'm gonna fail. I know that. We have a therapy fund. It's all good. I mean. My mom always spoke to me like an adult and was always straight with me.
And I think that's, we really try to do that as well with the kids.
Yeah. I think that that's the best way.
Because I feel like everybody's a winner. No. Not everybody is a winner. People lose and people win.
Do you know what? The one that we do in our house all the time is Riley says, that's not fair. Or Zoe says, that's not fair. And I say, I'm going to explain something to you right now, and you need to pay attention. Life is not fair.
No, exactly.
You are not going to all get the same thing. It's not how it works.
We say that, too.
So please get that idea out of your head.
You're right. It's not fair.
Yeah.
But that's life.
Yeah. And it's, you have to work for things that you want.
Yes.
And you're not going to get the same things as your sister.
Nope.
So let's get rid of that idea.
Like I said to Amelia, I'm like, with reading, I'm like, some kids are going to be better than you.
Yeah.
And you're going to be better at some things than other kids are better at. I'm like, that's just how life is.
Yeah.
I'm like, you don't have to be the best reader, but you need to be a better reader.
Yeah. Do you know the other one that was floating around our house for a while? And first time I heard it, I was like, no, not in our house. Was you get what you get.
Mm.
And
you don't get upset.
And you don't get upset.
Amelia says that. That's what she was taught in, like, kindergarten.
Yeah, oh, I know.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Actually... we just had a birthday party on Saturday, and we did a puppy adoption, like stuffed puppies, but it was really cute.
Oh, okay.
So they all got, they were all, some of them were same, some were different, and they had numbers, and so if you were last, you got what was left, kind of thing.
Right.
It's like, so someone said that, you get what you get, and you don't get upset.
Well, yeah, so you know what happens is that my daughter looks at me and she goes, that's not what my dad says. And I'm like, you're right, that's not what I said. You don't like it, then go change it.
Yeah, unless there's no other options.
Well, look, I mean, I think that's a lesson that they're being taught because the teachers don't want them to complain.
Yeah, true.
But as a life lesson, I think that's incorrect.
I would agree.
So, no, don't say that in our house.
Yeah, if you don't like it, then go change it.
Yeah, you get what you get and you don't get upset. Not in our house. You want to change it? How do you want to change it?
If you don't like how you look, don't eat the cookie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't eat the donut.
Yeah.
Be stronger than the donut.
It was really good.
I bet.
It was so good.
I bet. Okay, so let's play a game.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you, I'm going to do a word association and tell me the first thing that comes to your mind.
Oh, good. Okay, yes.
Actors.
Neurotic.
Flight attendants.
Neurotic.
Parenting.
Hard.
Hotels.
Ugh. Is that a word?
This is going to be my favorite. Packing lunches.
Pain in the ass.
Because every time you post about packing a lunch, it makes me laugh.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
It's like, I get it.
Yeah, well, that's... Yeah.
It's so hard.
You know, my favorite thing, too, is when they come home and they're like, I'm hungry. And I'm like, guess what your snack is? The lunch you didn't eat. Yeah, I can unwrap that and watch it with the... Yeah.
Yeah. You know what it is? I wish peanut butter was allowed because that would solve a lot of my problems.
Sure.
The only sandwich that she will eat is probably just peanut butter.
Mm-hmm. We just send jelly sandwiches.
Yeah, Hatley likes jelly sandwiches, mm-hmm. So that's fine.
That jelly and banana.
Us, but try that. Not Amelia.
No. Cricket protein. Cricket protein.
Exercise.
Necessary.
All right, that's all. I asked you to do a high and a low.
Yeah. So the high this week was we went and did a Spartan run, Spartan sprint. Our whole family.
Okay.
So the girls did. They have 1.5K for the kids with 5 or 10 obstacles, and then the 5K with 20 obstacles for me, uphill. Tip off should have been. You know what? You go up and then down and up and down and up, and the tip off should have been. It was at a ski hill.
Oh.
So, in Calgary, I did one 7 years ago in Calgary, and it was at the BMX park.
Okay.
So, again, up and down the side of the hill. So, but it was great, and the reason it was great was because I finished it. I ended up doing 95 burpees because I...
Holy crap.
Yeah, monkey bars. I can't hold on to monkey bars anymore. I slipped off at the second to last monkey bar.
And you have to do burpees as a punishment?
30 burpees as a penalty. And then there was another, then there was the rope. You know, remember the rope in gym class?
Yeah.
And I got maybe a third of the way up, and it's like, nope. So another 30 burpees. And then there was another hand-over-hand thing, and it was like rings that were at different heights, and there was a ball. And I looked at that one and just went, no.
I'll do burpees.
I was like, no, try it. And I tried it once and twice, and I'm like, I'll just go do
it. Should have done the burpees.
Right? And I went and did them anyway.
At least you tried, though.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And it, what was great is it tells me where I am. Like, there's certain things. There's one where you pull a bag up a rope, like, and it's 100 pounds. No problem cranking that one out. Yeah. Jumping over things, no problem. It's because I'm probably about 20 pounds overweight. I'm probably about 10 pounds overweight, but film weight. So, like, if I was down to 170, I could probably, because I'm 5'9". And even then, it's like... But I have broad shoulders, I guess. I don't know. I think if I was lighter, I could do it. Also, yeah. I should train more. So.
And what was your low?
The low was just that I didn't book anything. I'm finding that tough. It wears on me that I'm not, you know, that I go out for audition after audition after audition, and I don't book. So that's... So, and then that carries over into, like, self-doubt, and the kitchen's not clean. So there's, like, environmental things that have to sort of... It's mindset. Like, I don't want to get depressed and slide in there.
Do you find that happens easily? You seem like a happy guy, but you just never know, right? So.
Yeah, and I mean, I try to be positive, but there are days where I just... I do the weight of the move and making this and sacrifice. Going for your dream, and but it's not my sacrifice. Like I don't that's not a big deal. It's the sacrifice that my family has made.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. But you know, like some people are like I can let myself down, that's no problem. but it's worrying about letting other people down.
Right.
So and then trying to stay positive. And then the other thing, you asked if I was a leader or a follower earlier, and I was like, I'm more of a follower. I literally said to Vicky, you just have to tell me what to do this week. Like there's a whole bunch of stuff that needs to be done around the house. I have a list the length of my arm. What I need you to do is to tell me what's most important, what needs to get done, because then I will start doing it. But if I sit there, I'll get crippled by how much has to be done.
Right.
So, yeah, so I'm like, so what's the top of your list? She's like, the garage. I'm like, great. So
you did that today. So
yeah, so I...
Crossed off the list.
Yeah, yeah, and the backyard. I'm working on the backyard, and, you know, and then I got a couple of auditions tomorrow. And there's a weird thing, too, that happens with auditions, and this will sound extremely ungrateful for any actors who are listening and are not getting auditions, but sometimes you get auditions, and you're like, what the fuck? I don't have time for this right now. Or I don't want to go do this. Like, it's stupid.
Yeah.
Because I want to be an actor. I don't necessarily want to be a print model or a commercial actor. But
Hallmark.
2019 is the year of leaving the house. So I do leave the house. And then I get there and I'm always having a good time, right? Like once I'm out, I'm fine.
For sure.
But, you know, Vicky always... She had a job once where she was working... It was near the term of her maternity, and so she had shifted into a support thing. So she worked on the phone and in a cubicle, which is kind of what she does now. But she's like, you would love this job because you're by yourself, you're on a computer, you don't have to talk to anyone. And I was like, why do you think I would love that job? And she goes, you would. And I thought about it, and I was like, actually, I probably would like that
job. You don't know me.
I know, right?
Like, who do you think you are?
Yeah.
Are you married or something?
Right.
God.
But, I mean, you know, for a while I thought about editing.
Yeah.
As a job, because it's computers and it's telling stories and stuff like that. Yeah. But, again, you know, the problem also, I'm shiny. Like, there are so many things that you could do, and I'm interested in so many different things. And you know what happens when you don't do anything well? Is that you don't do anything well. Like, you have to double down and pick something that you're good at and be specific about it.
I feel like that way, too. Like, I look at my siblings, and I would say we're all creative. Mm. Okay? There's four of us. But I would say, like, out of my three siblings, I feel like I'm the one that's not really good at something.
Mm.
Like, my sister can do anything. Anything. And it's... I'm not, like, something I'm jealous of her. It's just that I'm envious, I guess. Like, she can sew, she can cook, she can bake, she literally can do anything.
Yeah, but could she write off the top, or what?
Could she what, sorry?
Yeah, but, I mean, she probably practices those things.
No, I just think she's really... Well, I mean, over time, right? I mean...
Yeah,
like,
but so you see that as someone who's picked it up and can just
like,
do it?
I just feel like, I'm like, is there anything that you can't do?
Right.
That's how I see it.
Right, I got you.
And, like, my other brother, they're both just very creative with their hands. And
yeah.
I'm just like...
But what do you want to do, though?
What do I want to do?
Yeah.
Like, well, I love this. This is my creative outlet. I love baking.
Yeah.
I like party planning.
There's a career in party planning.
I don't think I want to do that. I like doing that just for fun.
I get that.
I don't want to do that.
100% get that.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun to be a home stager.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a really hard industry to get into.
Look, they're all hard industries. This is the problem, right?
I know.
Like, at some point, you just got to pick one and do the Ira Glass 10,000 hours.
I just don't want to go back to school. I really don't. Like, I've done all that stuff. I'm not interested in going back to school. I'd take a course here and there, but to, like, full-on go back to school to get another degree, not interested.
Okay, but rather than degree, would you go to, like, a technical program to get the skills that you need?
Yeah, I would do that, but I would definitely wouldn't be like, I don't necessarily...
You don't want to go get a psychology degree?
No, if I have an English degree, have a French minor, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm done with that chapter.
Well, then it goes back to what we were talking about when I was saying to the girls, like, what problem do you want to solve?
Yeah. I really love that. I'm gonna really think about that.
Yeah. I try and think about it, too.
So what problem do you want to solve, then?
I want people to laugh, and I want people to get along. And I want to bring people together through commonality. And I want people to be nice to each other. The whole concept behind the Parent Council was to show... I used to say that it was diverse casting, and then my co-writer, Charles, who's a West Indian, said it's not diversity, it's representative. And I said, you know what? I 100% agree with that, because that's what I wanted to show. Because he hates the word diversity. Well, because he thinks it's a negative connotation, right?
Okay.
And whereas it's like representative. It's showing what Canada looks like. And that's the idea for the show, was that I wanted to show a parent council that was, you know, people from different walks of life in a public school. Right? And then can you get along? And then are you getting along with that person? And how are you dealing with your biases through your cultural lens? And
yeah.
Or is that person just being a dick? Like, are they straight up being a dick? And then how do we navigate that, right?
Speaking of which, my low happened a couple weeks ago.
What was it?
I super lost my cool at work.
Uh-oh.
I'm talking like, I literally almost told a girl to F off. A guest?
Wow.
She deserved it.
But you didn't.
I didn't.
Because you don't strike me as a swearing kind of person.
I'm here, I try not. I try not to, but no, in my everyday life. She literally attacked me out of nowhere. And I don't take kindly to things like that.
No.
To be treated like that.
No.
So as soon as someone attacks me, I don't... You know, the flight...
Yeah, fight or flight.
I'm a fighter.
Oh, good. Good to know. You got to watch out if you're on the Ellen Show. That guy's going to get it in the chops.
Yeah. She said some very unkind things to me.
Where did this come from?
It was a Vegas flight.
Oh.
And, yeah, say no more. To our Calgary, Vegas on a Friday night.
Mm.
And these girls were, like, for sure millennials. And
were they back in the cheap seats too?
Yep.
Yeah.
And
oh, there's a whole bunch of judgments going on here.
Yeah, and I cut one of the girls off in the group. That's our call.
Yeah.
Right? We know, we've been around long enough to know when it's time to just cut it.
Yeah.
And the flight was super turbulent and it makes me uneasy anyway. Like,
yeah.
I'm not scared. I'm just like, I'm on edge.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to get hurt.
Yeah.
Just to serve a drink.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, right? So, helping. Positioned me with garbage, and this girl I've never talked to, never seen her in my life, she's like, oh, look, that's the girl who ignored us during service. And I was like, who are you? Like, who, like, really, like, who are you? I have no idea who you are, right? And I was like, pardon? She's like, don't worry. I've already started the email about you. And I was like, so then I just got mad. I just really got mad.
Wow.
I was like, then I said things I shouldn't say. Like, do you even know how things work around here? Because clearly you don't.
Oh, good.
And then she's like, then she says to me out loud, oh, listen to your effing snotty bitch attitude. And I was like, that's when I had to fight back. The F you.
Right.
Because I'm like, don't. So then I was like, don't you dare say the F word on this airplane. Do you understand? Do you understand? And then I walked away. Because I was like, I need to walk away right now because.
Or I'm going
to
throw a puncher.
Yeah. I'm just like, my approach is not right. But I just like, I have a hard time not standing up for myself.
No, I get it.
And. James isn't proud of how I acted after I told him the story, but I'm like, you weren't there, man. Like,
no.
And I felt bad because we had like a new girl. She's like 6 months into the job, and I was like, I'm not a good example. Right. I even said to her, I'm like, I'm really sorry, but I'm like, I'm not a really good example right now of conflict resolution.
Yeah.
I'm like, but she attacked me. I have no idea who she is.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah. Like, and then as this is all happening, someone's like, stop talking. I don't know if it was to me or to her. I have no idea. But I was like, not my proudest moment, for sure.
Wow.
But it's just, people just pick at you. And I find people think I'm small. And I find it happens a lot. Like, oh, she's small. She looks nice. Let's just attack her. Thinking I'm never going to...
Oh, like you're the weakest link?
Yeah, that's how they look at me. And I'm like, oh, you have no idea who you're messing with. Because I am the wrong person.
Yeah.
You're reading this all wrong.
Yes, you are.
And I just, like, I have a, yeah, not my proudest moment, for sure.
What was your high?
My high was that Emilio's birthday party was a hit with the puppy adoption, and she loves huskies, and the cake turned out well, so I'm proud of that.
Did you make the cake?
Yeah, it was a lot of work.
Nice.
Like, start to finish probably took me, like, 8 hours.
Ugh.
Of, like, well, baking, and then... cooling, well, you know, the whole process.
I do.
And designing.
But Vicky does them in our house.
But I love it, though.
Yeah.
Like, it is my happy place, but I want to be in isolation. Don't talk to me.
Right.
No one's around me.
Yeah.
I need to be in my own space.
Mm-hmm.
Do my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Have some wine.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to a podcast or something and just let me be.
Mm-hmm.
And James knows. He just... kids
She's
are in bed.
She's in her happy place.
Leave me alone.
Yep.
I'll let you know when it's ready. Give me your advice, your feedback, and yeah, that was my high. It's nice. Two very different things.
Yeah, no
but
kidding.
Like, yeah. We do things we're not proud of, and I have to live with that. But I mean, people also can't treat us like that either.
No, I agree with that.
So, yeah, it's my low, and that's my high.
There you go.
Anyway, we should probably wrap this up. It's been an hour and a half, so.
Well, once you get me talking, that's the problem.
Oh, me too.
All right. Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah. Thank you for coming to my hotel.
My pleasure.
Seems weird, like, I'm in room, blah, blah, blah. Like.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. It's great that Vicky's used to me, because it was like, so I'm going to go to a hotel room to do a podcast. And she's like, okay. You know, this job doesn't work if your partners don't trust you.
True.
It can't. Like... And there's no reason not to.
Exactly.
So.
Well, I figure, I was like, I hope she's going to, she doesn't know me, so I hope she's
going to. No. She knows who you are, and she knows James, and so, and like I said, she's used to it. So, I've been an actor since I met her.
Yeah.
She was a stage manager when I met her.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, she's used to this.
I figured.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're always moving and shaking, right?
Yeah, leaving town.
All right, well, thanks for coming on, and if you want to come back, I'd be more than happy for you to...
Yeah, well, I'll have to do stuff. I'll tell you what, I'll come back once, if I do something big and you want to have me on your podcast, you call me and I'll do it.
All right, sounds good. All right, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye!